And thank you, Larry. You know, I just give God praise that I have had the type of experience I have, that I don't think I need to be praying every prayer in a worship service, because I don't know about you, but I learned so much by listening to how other people pray, and I just thank you for your prayers. And I learn something every time I hear one of our liturgists pray, and I just want to thank them. Appreciate it. This morning's scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, is 1 Corinthians in the first, the Old or the New Testament? The New Testament. Now, the New Testament is like the back third of your Bible. And so, the New Testament begins with Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And what comes after John? Acts, and then Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, excuse me, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Now, a couple things. Again, I wrote this sermon thinking of 6th grade and on up, so just keep that in mind. As if you have children here, just know that we've created the children's church for kids that are younger than that, number one. The second thing, I am taking this from the Message. So it's going to be a little bit different than your pew Bibles or the Bibles that you brought from home. Just know that. Don't get confused as I read it. All right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Once you find that, could you stand up with me, close the Bible on your finger, and let us say the Bible pledge together this morning. Let's say it loud and proud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read together. Well, I mean, I'll be reading it, but you follow along, please. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Now, getting down to the questions you ask in your letter to me, first, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder." This was written in like 70 AD. Can we still say praise God to that statement today? Not praise God. Amen, maybe in agreement. Sorry, that was a slip there. But anyway, the marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife, and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place for stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it, and if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times. Then come back together again. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. I am not, understand, commanding these periods of abstinence, only providing my best counsel if you should choose them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.